Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Sanders team, and he said, run the ball. That oof was because I've seen the Browns attempt to run the ball through the first four games of the season. Nick Wilson, Jason Stanford back on Afternoon Drive. We are getting some Browns here again. We had the pre-injury practice report out. Miles not practicing. Jack Conklin, Jed Wills not practicing. Jordan Hicks not practicing. But I think it's interesting. You know, today's kind of like a peek ahead at this game. You can go either way with this with me. It's tough for me now going into five games, Jason, expecting the run game to suddenly magically come alive. At the same point, maybe the Commanders are so bad against the run, this is the slump buster we've been waiting for that takes some pressure off Deshaun.
Well, I think the big part is if the offensive line can block and open up the gaps, maybe Ford goes out and has a big day like Connor did last weekend.
So it's funny you say that because Connor is a big physical guy. Now, he can catch, so he's very versatile. I kind of wonder if this is a Deontay Foreman game.
That would be nice to see, too. I mean, he hasn't really had the reps that you're looking for yet. You know, it's been more about the Jerome Ford game. But if Freeman can come out there and do his part, that would be interesting.
So it's what's interesting about it is, to me, listen, because it might sound like I'm calling out Deuce Daly. Deuce Daly, I love the hire, still love the hire. I think he has some of the spice that the coaches need. I think he has that fire that Kevin doesn't have. So I really like Deuce Daly is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why we haven't seen more of a split. And again, like, it's not typical. Like, I'm the guy who, if they could have lined up Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the same backfield in certain looks, I would have been extremely happy. Because I think you have two guys, especially with Hunt's versatility, that I think could have been lethal. I don't understand why we're not just using those as like a thunder and lightning attack. But I think what you said is super important. You know, I think there's this idea Nick Chubb's going to save you. It's really rich, that idea that he's going to do that just coming off the IR. I don't expect him for this game. I don't know when to expect him. And I don't know what he's going to look like when he does come back. But if you've got that talent, you can basically jumpstart an offensive line with your ability to run the ball. If you have guys who are, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I think they're fine backs. They're league average replacement backs. Jerome's got a great explosive giddy up. Haven't seen it enough to put any stock into it. So with Jerome and Deontay, it's all about what happens up front. So That's a long-winded way of saying if this was Nick Chubb, I'd be like, yeah, he's so good that just naturally talented, he can make up for a bad O-line play. I don't think we can automatically just expect that for either Foreman or Jerome Ford.
Well, if Nick Chubb is in the lineup, we know what he's capable of doing. He can create his own lanes. He can power through when he needs to. Unfortunately, right now, you know, he's not around yet, and he's coming back off the PUP, which is nice. He's on the field again practicing. But when you look at these two running backs right now, you have to make sure that they learn how to create their own lane. And I think for, you know, if you look at Jerome Ford getting the bulk of the reps, he's got to be able to get off the edge. If he can come around and use that speed to his advantage, you're looking at a better scenario for Deshaun Watson too.
I'll also just say this. Can we stop with the halfback dives for Jerome Ford?
Right.
And I know it's not just halfback dives. There are a couple different types of plays they're doing. I know you have to establish him a little bit inside to be able to get those outside looks so you don't telegraph it. I'm going to go ahead and say we're running him a little too much up the middle. And that's where that thunder and lightning thing comes up of let Deontay Foreman, you know, maybe pry him open a little bit because he is bigger. He is more physical. Although I'll be honest with you, he does not have the same punch he had like 3 years ago. With full respect, because I saw him in Carolina, he could lower his shoulder and run through you. That is not something we're seeing right now, and he doesn't have the burst to make up for it. So now I feel like I've just talked myself out of Deontay Foreman. But no, I mean, I think the point is, like, stop telegraphing when it's going to be an inside run, because when it's Jerome, I don't know he's the guy that's going to fight through and give you extra yards.
Well, I think the best of both worlds right now would be a two-headed monster. And, you know, when we heard JP say, if you run the ball against the Commanders, you'll have success. Well, we haven't seen that so far this year in the first four games for the Browns. But at the same time, if that offensive line can get off the block and they don't get jammed up and you create just a small gap for these guys, you'll see 3, 4, 5 yard gains.
Everybody knows Nick Wilson, Nicky Dubs, is a big fan of the two-headed monster. 216-474-0092. This is because, as always, beauty is in the ear of the beholder. When you heard run the ball, did you immediately go, oof, like me? Or were you like, hey, an opportunity, we might be able to run the ball? Listen, I have my interpretation. I leave it open for you to have whatever interpretation you want. But it's funny, you know, we heard from Deshaun today. And, you know, like everything, I saw one or two people tweeting about things Deshaun said and the third down play. And it's like, I think we're just looking for things to bitch about at some point. But one thing that I thought was really interesting, actually, Spencer German, the Germanator, who you guys hear with me and you'll hear again on Friday, he asked a question today in Berea to Deshaun about how much one win can change the equation for the Browns. I think it's an interesting answer from Deshaun.
It can be huge, especially a road win with a hot team like the Commanders. It can definitely, you know, start something great. And that's what we believe. But we got to win today. We got to win Wednesday before we can win on Sunday. And if we can win Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then go out there and just play free and try to get a W and get a W on the road against a very good Commanders team, then that can really start something. And we can build off that confidence and that momentum. But before we get there, we got to win today.
Jason, the missed opportunity in the Vegas game wasn't just beating a depleted team. It wasn't just beating a team you should beat. It was releasing the pressure of what that had built up off an embarrassing loss to the Giants.
Yeah, when you look at this game, especially another road game where you've struggled all season long so far, for Deshaun Watson, you know, all the burden and pressure is on him right now, right? He's coming off of surgery. He hasn't looked his greatest. He's not passing at the prolific scale that he used to. But for me, when I look at that game and I go back, there's two plays that stand out the most. It's the drop pass by Amari Cooper that led to the interception that scored some points, you know, defensively. Mm-hmm. And then also the big hold. I mean, that play right there, that could have jump-started this Browns offense. That could have jump-started, you know, with Deshaun Watson talking about that one win. That could have been the tale of the season.
Well, and I think, you know, we'll get into the idea of Deshaun and, you know, I'm going to save it, but I said something yesterday that had a few people up in arms that would dare say that I think this is where the season is. But I think you can speak to this. My perception, you know, you can speak to this as a former athlete and as somebody who's been in locker rooms. My perception of pressure when it comes to sports, especially in the NFL, is because your games are drawn out by 7 days at a piece, that it does not take long for that pressure cooker to heat up and to really start to build. Because now all of a sudden, if you're now 3 weeks away from a win, that's 21 days of pressure, pressure, pressure. And so that's, to me, what I'm most interested in when Deshaun is talking about, you know, the idea of one win changing it, is that idea of you've got so much pressure right now in that locker room and trying to fix things that, like, that's the thing that you've got to either completely release or the thing you've got to at least pause on so you can start getting back to winning habits.
So I think I can go back to this and look at it from a starting pitcher's perspective, right? So in the big leagues or even in the minor leagues, you're on a 5-day rotation. In college sports, you're in a 7-day rotation. So it's similar to the NFL and in college football where, you know, if you're the quarterback or you're a starting pitcher and you have a bad game, you have to wait to perform 5 or 7 days later. So you don't get to go out and perform like an everyday player, unfortunately. So going back to Deshaun, he hasn't been at his peak right now. You know, he's struggling at times to find his reads, but I can say and truly say this in the locker room, you only put the pressure on yourself when you're going bad. When you're going good, there's no pressure. You're playing free. It's easy. You can speak to the media. You're not getting criticized. And that's a hard feat to swallow day in and day out.
Well, and I think with this team, I think for people to buy into the Browns, and I'm talking about like a majority, I think anytime something goes good, there's always fans. And that this is the best part of being a fan. There's maybe it's 15%, 20%, 25%. Sometimes all those fans need is a win, and they'll be back to Super Bowl, Super Browns, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think for fans in general, we came in with a wait-and-see mentality. I think it's going to take more than one win to get people to go, okay, good feelings back, because you'll still be under 500. I still think getting this win specifically is critical for them just to stop the bleeding and just to get back on the side of, and I thought Deshaun had a great answer today when he's like, you know, hey man, if we were 3-1, the questions today would be totally different, even if the games didn't look all that different. It's 100% right. And that, and by the way, the mood in the locker room would be 100% different. So I do think like one win does matter. It can't change our opinion of the Browns, or at least my opinion of the Browns, but it can start to go, all right, this is maybe a win people didn't expect you to get. Now you've got a chance to get to 500 with the Eagles game. You know, it's. I think we got to stack wins and get out of being below 500 to change my opinion, but this is the kind of game where, okay, you win this game, especially if you win in a way we don't think you can, like run the ball. All of a sudden, all right, now let's see what we can build off of here. I think that's what one win represents right now.
So let me ask you this then. If they grind it out and they have a pound the football mentality on Sunday and they have a big win, right? So let's say that Deshaun Watson goes for 3 touchdowns and 250, you know, and we're like, ooh, hooping and hollering.
Don't and the running tease if you can't please, Jason.
Right? And the running backs go out and they have, you know, 150 yards between the two of them. Does that change your perception?
I think because you involved the Deshaun thing, it probably starts to a little bit. I think we've gotten to a point where Deshaun having a monster game and a loss might actually be more impactful to people's opinion than Deshaun having a bad game and a win. Does that track?
No, it does. And you know, we were able to listen to Deshaun talk today. And he talks about every day's a win for him right now because he's on the field. He's healthy now, and he's learning how to adapt to a new shoulder. And I think some of us have to realize that, especially as fans. We have to realize that. Give him the benefit of the doubt the first couple weeks, but we're starting to see some better passes. We saw a big, you know, touchdown pass that was called back, unfortunately, because of the hold. But that's something that, you know, maybe for Deshaun Watson, that was a huge win for him. It didn't come out as a dub. But it was a huge win for him to see that success there.
Start your game day with the Fan, Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin alongside Anthony Lima, live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park. This Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m., we'll have a chance to win a football prize pack and Tap Sports Grill gift card. Make the Fan, Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine right here on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. 216-474-0092. Can one win change your opinion on the Browns? Robert, Lewis, you guys stick there. More on this in the Browns' updated win total. Not great, Bob. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Your Odyssey NFL Insider coming up in about 40 minutes. I think of myself as a capable human being there, Jason, but trying to turn on my microphone and get my earbuds into my ears at the same time, I immediately felt like a hopeless little deer. Like, I don't know if it looked as bad as it looked over here, but I was like, I'm trying to put one earbud in, holding the other earbud while turning on the, and at one point I started to strangle myself. And I just said to myself, what the hell is going on right now?
I was just listening to music.
I talk for a living.
It was a good vibe.
It was.
It's a very good vibe here. Jason Stanford with me. We got Ross Tucker again coming up in 40 minutes. Listen, I'm not saying it's a bone to pick, but he had a chance to say my name on the broadcast of the Browns Raiders. He did not. I want to know about that. I want to know if he still thinks it's a holding call. It's not about is it a holding call, because that's you can say that about any damn play. It is was that the right time to make that call, which negated just the coolest play of Deshaun Watson's Cleveland Browns career? No big deal.
Nick, I watched the whole game just for you. I wanted to hear what Ross was going to have to say about you, and nothing came to fruition. I have a bone to pick with him, too. I mean, being that I'm talking with you today, I mean, this is prime time.
I really like that we can spin this to now, like, he's let down the viewers of Cleveland because everybody was watching. Like, we could have tuned out about 10 times in that game. But we're like, Ross isn't going to let Nick down, and then he did. For shame. So we'll interrogate him in 35 minutes. We're just talking, though, about how much one win can change your opinion of the Browns. This is just like an anecdotal thing. Vegas has updated their updated win total. I don't know why I said updated. They're updated. That was too many updateds. Vegas has updated their Browns win total for this year. Mind you, various books had them anywhere from 8.5 wins to 9.5 wins. Well, they're now at 5.5 wins via Vegas. And we're dangerously close to the Browns becoming underdogs, which honestly, I'd kind of prefer this team is.
Well, I think when you look at this, 5.5 wins right now, I'm not a betting man, but I like those odds right now of figuring out in the month of October how Deshaun can get rolling and this offense can get going.
So what's interesting about it is I think the argument is, well, the Browns just lost to the Giants and Raiders. Where find the wins on the schedule. And I think this gets into the dangerous thing that people focus on all the time. I think we do this all the time in Cleveland, that we start to make a mountain out of molehill about what you have to face. Like, I've heard people say, well, I guess the roster isn't that good because they're 1-3. To hell with that. It's the same roster that went 11-5. And it's not, if they had lost to the Chiefs already, or if they had lost to the Bengals or Raiders or really any of the teams in this division that even matter, the Steelers who were previously unbeaten, if they had lost to those teams, I'd probably say, well, maybe last year was a product of you didn't have as many tough games on the schedule. You lost to Daniel Jones and Gardner Minshew. So, like, I'll be honest with you, and I never, because Vegas is almost always right, I'm going to hit that over as much as I possibly can. I think you're stealing money here. 5.5 wins from here? Like, what the hell are we talking about? I think it's an easy thing that they clear that right now.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ow. And because I'll be honest with you, one, 8 out of 10 things don't go wrong 100% of the season. They just don't. There is a regression to the mean that even if this team is average, I expect almost an overcompensation because they've just, everything that has gone wrong, can go wrong, has gone wrong. So, like, I'm not trying to, listen, I get that it's doom and gloom out there. But, like, I think Deshaun's coming off his worst game. I think the best game, excuse me. I think the defense can absolutely play a million times better. Those two factors help you clear 6 wins easy this season.
Well, when you look at this team right now, it is all about determination, and it's about heart, right? I think when you look at that locker room right now, you know, we talked last week that there was possibly some finger pointing amongst the players and maybe even the coaching staff. And now they did play better on Sunday. Yes, they lost. But when you take out a couple plays, and we can all say this. We can say, oh, take out a couple plays, they win that game. But moving forward, I like the persona of listening to Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I like how he's staying calm, cool, and collective and not putting in the panic mode yet. Now, with that being said, you're going up against one of the hottest teams in football right now on Sunday.
I think we're overrating Washington a little bit. I do. Listen, Jaden Daniels looks really good. It's 3 or 4 games. Like, he's still a young kid. That's still a team that you're trying to remove a culture of losing out of that locker room, because it has been abysmal since Kirk Cousins left. Didn't matter who the damn head coach was. So I think we're overrating them just a little bit. Like, be afraid of Jaden Daniels. He's special. They're still a team that was, you know, they still had the number 2 pick for a damn reason, right?
No, they did. And I think when you look at it too, if the secondary can do their part, if they can jam up the receivers, that gives Myles Garrett a hot shot at Jaden Daniels. I'm excited to see that.
Are you saying don't? 10 yards of fluff isn't good?
Let's get rid of that fluff just a little bit. Maybe go 6 yards, maybe go 7 yards. But the 10 yards, that's a lot of cushion there.
Ronnie McLeod, like 2 weeks ago, was like, hey, man, we're not a matchup-based defense, which, and I'm not, because I like Rodney's answers. I think he's great with the Morning Boys on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Everybody should listen. Same point with Rodney. He said we're not a matchup-based defense after they had to move Denzel Ward on to Neighbors at halftime, and then conspicuously absent in the second half was Neighbors. So I don't know whether we needed 2 touchdowns from Malik Neighbors to get to where we're all of a sudden we're going to put our best corner on their best player, but I'm just simply spitballing here. At the same point, maybe they're giving them 10 yards of cushion to make it interesting. Maybe the Browns defense is just so bored with being great that they're like, let's everybody line up at the 50-yard line. They get the ball at the 30. We're going to give them 20 yards of cushion, and then let's see if we can just make this interesting.
It's like the new special teams kickoff now is the way that we're going to play some defense.
I think that might be it. So I have kind of spoken my piece here. One win makes you feel good. It doesn't answer every question. Even if Deshaun has a breakout game, something that we'll get to later in the show. But even if it's a great game and Deshaun plays well, he's the best quarterback in the game, and you get this win, I don't think for a majority of fans it's enough. But one win is enough to feel better. It's not going to make you think Super Bowl, Super Browns, or they're a playoff team, but at least just you can speak positively about the team without being Amish-style shunned by half of the region. That's where I am at with the idea, the power of one win. Where are you at?
Well, so because they only play one game a week, one win, I think, for this team right now is huge. It allows them to get one game closer to 500, but it also gives that locker room something to stand on. You know, you're playing a hot team that they're 3-1. They lead their division right now, in which a division I don't think is that good, with the Cowboys and the Eagles haven't played that great. But for me, when you look at this Browns team, and they've been reeling for the last 3 games, it's for me, go out, play hard, win the game, and then we'll go from there on Monday.
216-474-0092. Can one win change your opinion on the Browns? Let's go out to Lewis and Shaker. What's up, buddy?
Nick, we win. We win Sunday. I have no evidence, no nothing to base on, not these past 4 games. I didn't think we was going to go 1-4, but I knew it was going to be pretty bad. Preseason is over. I guarantee you'll win. And when I call back, you'll be like, man, that Lewis is a genius. We'll win by 3.
Lewis, you also guaranteed me some wins in some horse races that didn't go my way because I trusted you.
Nick, don't even go there, Nick. See, I haven't spoken to you in a while. I went 5-1 this year. And the Breeders' Cup is in 1 month. 5-1. I hit every Kentucky Derby race. I'll send you my tickets. I'll send you the tickets.
I'm going to need to see the tickets here, fella, because I remember
you
calling in and busting my boy Dick Girardi and saying that he was wrong.
He is horrible.
And then Dick was right and you were wrong.
I had Mystic Dan. I had She's the Great. My best one was Doorknob. Hold on.
Doorknob?
Let me tell you the story real quick. I'm going to let you go. Let me tell you the story. I went up to Thistledown and I walked in. I was like, I will beat each and every one of you with the second worst horse in the race. They all scoffed at me. They laughed at me. At the end of the race, I was talking so much crap to them. I had to leave. I thought they was going to beat me up. I was talking so much crap.
All right, Lewis, I'll make you a deal. If the Browns win, you locked it in, and I appreciate that kind. If they win in this game, the way you've let me down in horse racing will be off the marker, and you'll be back in my good graces, okay?
Oh, and you need to watch my podcast, too. There you have it. Okay. What? All right. We got it.
No. Oh, my God. All right. Well, you look at my TikTok, at Nick Wilson Says. And I'll did he say watch my podcast?
He did.
Listen, we do need another word. Because, listen, remember, like, we had blogs and vlogs? I'm cool if you have a podcast. But if it's also broadcasting and video, I'm going to need another word for it. Because when people say watch or listen to my podcast, my old brain, I can't figure this stuff out. I need simplicity. So I'll listen to your podcast, but if you have a video podcast, it's something different, then I will watch it. Now I just realized I was bitching about something that totally didn't matter at all. I can't get that level of over the top in terms of excitement for this game. I think it's incredibly winnable. But the problem is we keep focusing on Washington. Focus on the Browns. The Browns will not win unless they clean up their habits, their attitudes, and stop acting like they've done something. Like that, you and I were talking earlier in the show. I feel like as a human being, like to me, ego is the death of progress because, quite frankly, every time I've been like, I got radio figured out, I get some sort of swift kick in the anus from any which direction. Anytime I'm like, I got this parenting thing figured out. Nope. Life corrects me and reminds me that I have a lot to learn. So, like, I do think one of the flaws here, and this is where I don't know, because I'm still hearing a lot of chest pounding coming from the Browns locker room. I don't know that they've learned their damn lesson yet. I don't know that they've gotten to the kind of desperate that lights that fire under your ass, which everybody in life has had in some way. You get so desperate that you have to go do something you said you'd never do to make it work. Well, I don't know we're there yet with the Browns, but it'd be nice if 1-3 was enough, quite frankly.
Well, when you look at Sunday too, you know, there was some bickering going on. Deshaun Watson raised his voice and kind of got, and this was on camera. We were able to see it. And Deshaun Watson says, I do that all the time. Like, I am the leader of this locker room. I am the leader of this team. So what we'd like to see, though, is not only be the leader, but continue to control that offense.
So what I loved it. Like, listen, I always thought, like, you always tell, like, and you can probably speak to this as a former player. Like, I always knew the guys who yelled because they thought that's what it took, and the guys who actually communicated when they yelled, right? And those are two wildly different things. It's guys wanting to be coaches and guys who are coaches. Guys who wanted to be leaders but didn't understand what that meant and guys who are leaders. I thought it was leadership because my favorite thing was not the yelling on the field. It was when he came back and you could see him talking to Juan Jones and pat him on the shoulders and say, and give him that love. Like a swift kick in the ass, doesn't know, but a swift kick in the ass and a hug, that goes a long way for a player. And I've been looking for those things with Deshaun, and to see that, that gave me a little bit of reassurance with Deshaun.
So when you look at this, especially from a fan's perspective, looking at this and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, these players are disgruntled. It is the best feeling when something like that happens and you do come back in and, you know, fans don't see what goes on in the locker room. You know, we talk, we communicate, we go out, we have dinner, you know, we'll be able to get over that. It's brotherly love. That's what it's all about. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that fire, that passion, then why are you playing the sport? You know, you might as well give it up and come sit on the couch with me.
I don't think we know each other that well. 216-474-0092. Can one win change your opinion of the Browns? And I tease him. I'm a little proud of my guy across the way here. I'll tell you why next on 92.3 The Fan. Nick Wilson, Jason Stanford back on Afternoon Drive. I believe it was that guy in Cleveland who said that the Browns are in a do-or-die situation here. On Sunday, saying if this is this game with Washington isn't won, there's more likely than not that a deep run won't be happening. It's put up or shut up time. Real quick before we get into what we're going to talk about, I think we've already exhausted the different iterations, the superlatives that we put on games. We've had must wins. We've had, I had confirm or negate. Like, we've started to come up with new ways to talk about games, because every single game you're like, if they don't do this, I don't know where the hell this is going.
Well, when you look at it now, we're listening do or die. And I wouldn't put it as a do or die game just yet. Now, they lose this game next weekend, 100% against the Eagles, do or die. You don't want to go at that point 1-5. That's a struggle to climb, and that is a mountain that you won't get up.
So with that, again, we'll get back to what superlative we should throw in this game with Ross coming up in about 20 minutes. And really, what did he take away from the Raiders game? He was in the booth with Jay Feely and Beth Moens. And had some good stuff on it, although didn't say my name. You, though, I'm so proud. Like, anytime somebody tells me, everybody knows I like food. That's a, you know, you see me. That's not, you've seen the new picture they put up on the Odyssey app. Thank you, by the way, to everybody involved in making me look as fat as humanly possible.
We'll protect your cholesterol.
I look like the most bloated lobster because I'm wearing like an orange shirt too, like a, almost a salmon color. And I looked as if you merged all the salmon in the world into a human mold. So thank you again for whoever decided, let's get new pictures for the show. Very much appreciated that. It's not their fault. I'm the fat one. That being said, I do love to barbecue. I love to grill. I love to smoke. And you told me you just got a Traeger. You just got a grill here. And now you're starting to work on it. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. I'm like a nervous dad.
I'm a proud papa.
No, I was just going to say, thank you, Dad, for being so proud of me.
You're
right,
welcome,
now.
Son.
So my girlfriend, Vanessa, you know, another Vanessa, she was able to, for Father's Day, get me a Traeger. And I serviced it. I got it all ready. I was excited. And then it just kept the cover on for, you know, from June until now.
Were you a little intimidated?
I'm going to say yes, very much so. I love to cook, and I love to grill out. I love to be outside. So having this Traeger now and trying to read up on it, I am a student of the game. Mm-hmm. I need to read. I need to make sure I know what I'm doing. Well, I didn't read up on this one. I just kind of went all in and said, okay, what are we doing? So my kids are over. We're grilling out. We're going to make hamburgers. And if anybody ever wants a real hamburger, not this artificial stuff, come into my house. I'll make you guys a great hamburger. I promise you there. You'll never have a better one, okay?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. That's fine. Yeah. All right. Deal.
Yeah. And by Tuesday, I mean literally any day. I'll just show up at your house.
Perfect.
And be like, you got any of them burgers?
We always keep them on stock.
Nice.
So I put it in the Traeger. We leave it go. I look at it constantly. I'm like, this isn't looking like a real burger. I'm getting nervous. I'm like, okay, did I put the temperature up right? Are the pellets, you know, are they coming out the right way? Is the smoke doing what it's supposed to do? So I put the internal temp in, and it shows that, okay, hey, it's ready. Mm-hmm. So I take them off. I want it grilled, though. So I go and I put it on my grill inside, and we fire it up. My kids eat it. They're like, Dad, this was the best hamburger we've ever had in our life. I'm like, of course, it's your dad.
Yeah.
You know, and then Vanessa goes, Jay, this is better than one you made me last time.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, I just scored 4 points right there.
Yeah.
I was like, this is unreal. But here's the best kicker now. So we do that. Last night, Vanessa and I have steaks.
Mm-hmm.
We use the Traeger. Well, I leave and I go take my son to get his haircut. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh boy, I forgot that I left the Traeger on and it's cooking and it's grilling. Vanessa calls me. She's like, hey, hon, you know, what should I be doing here? I'm like, turn that temp up. If it's not cooking, turn it up. Just let's go for it. I get home. It's like 8:30, 8:45. We fried those things. I mean, they looked crispy as crisp. I take them off. We cut through it. It melts, though. I'm like, wait a minute. I go, it looks toasted, though. Oh my God, Nick, it was unbelievable.
So the funny thing is now what's going to start to happen is, you know, the old question we used to have all the time is, what do we want for dinner? Now it is, I immediately go to, how am I going to do it? Because grill, smoke, I got a cast iron skillet.
Oh.
I've got, I'm actually going to be buying a sous vide, which if you haven't had is freaking fantastic way to cook steaks. And so now the problem is you do start to feel the pressure. Because at first, when you hear, this is the best burger I've ever had, it's the best steak, you're like, damn right it is.
Right.
Who did that? Nicky Dubs did. Jason did. But the problem is, then you get to a point where you're like, the bar has changed. Like, it used to be when Ness and I first got together, it was, hey, you didn't burn this. Really good job out of you. Now, it is like she tells the girls he's the better cook. And I'm like, you realize how much pressure that is? And she's not thinking that way. She's just saying it in earnest, and I appreciate the compliment. But, yeah, so, like, every once in a while, like, I had something with my kids 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. You could eat it, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good. And Ness is so nice that she couldn't just tell me it's a no for me, dog. So we had to bring in the youngest child. And the youngest child was like, it's not bad, but it's not good.
Oh, man.
And we're just like, I guess we're going to get fast food tonight. But so like, but yes, I will say, once you get really good at it, like, we start doing a pork butt here. Maybe you start, you know, you've got a Traeger. They have the internal temperature set.
Yes.
So you're good to start even with briskets. It is the most finicky one. But the problem is, once you get a couple that are out of this world, you do notice when people are like, yeah, it's good. Well, you start to notice when the compliment is, yes, it's pretty good. Because it's better than anything else anybody's cooking, but it's not as good as you've cooked before, and it becomes a slippery slope.
Well, so here's the scary part, too. So last night, like I said, the bottom portion was cooked, right? It was grilled. We like our steaks. She likes it medium rare. And I'm about a medium rare plus. I mean, she loves to eat the right, you know, type of temperature meat. And so I look at it, and she goes, Jay, we went to Texas Roadhouse, and she goes, that was garbage. What we had tonight, this is outstanding. I'm like, even with the way it looks, she's like, yeah, this is great. And like you said, the point is now that bar and that standard is so high that I'm going to have to come out with a walk-up song.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the way I'm going to have to look at it.
Yeah, I like the idea that, and listen, it's cute if you have like a popular song. This song is in my head because Keith and you and I were talking about this. Thunderstruck by AC/DC. Like, ooh, what are we doing? But you better make sure, this is the other thing. Only when you know it's good.
Yes.
Like, because that way it informs expectations. If there's no walk-up song, and you know what, you're just going to eat this, and it's going to be good, but it's not going to be the best thing you ever had. If Dad puts on the walk-up song, everybody clear out. Well, Bleep just got real.
If I'm putting my, you know, walk-out song when I played, it was Black Betty Ram Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. It just gets me fired up. I listen to it on the golf course, and I just hit far shots. Otherwise, that's like once every, like, 18 holes.
So I will tell you, my favorite thing of what you said is the first couple times when you have your smoker, the pressure you put on yourself,
right.
Like, it is the easiest thing in the world. If you have a pellet smoker, much so, like, if you've ever had an offset smoker, I had one for a long time, and trying to get the temperature right is like a very scientific. You gotta, all right, well, this nodule needs to be here. All right, this stove needs to be here. It's a lot, and that is intimidating. But it's so funny that like an actual pellet, which it's okay, it's plugged in, you turn it on, and now it's, all right, don't burn it. Like or don't let it dry out. Like that's the two things you have to avoid, and. But now you're going to get to a point where it's not just about, like, because your family, and family's always pretty honest with each other. But when the pressure now comes, once you get used to it, when they're like, when you come over, he's going to make you a pork butt. You're going to have some pulled pork here. And it's like, no, let's tell him it's the worst thing you've ever eaten. Like set the expectations lower here. Cause it's almost like when you introduce somebody to your favorite movie, and then you like watch them to see if they're enjoying it, because it like matters. Like your review, if you negate my review of this movie, I don't know we can be friends. Same damn thing happens with something you pull off the smoker or something off the grill, because you're like, man, if they hate this, I don't think I can be friends with them anymore.
I just want to stay in the minor leagues. I don't want to go to the big leagues. I don't want to go to the NFL just yet. I want to stay in the minor leagues and just keep learning, right? Just keep getting that constant understanding of what you're supposed to do.
My challenge for you next. Because I'm like, again, like I'm a proud papa. Pork butt. I'm telling you. One, you'll cook enough food for your whole family for the next week. you get a 10-pound pork butt and you are good. You just have to now decide how you're going to repurpose it. Two, there are like burgers and steaks you feel good about. But like, you know how to grill them on a normal grill, right?
Yep.
But when you get to something that you're like, this is the best way to cook it. And now I got to make sure that's when you start. That's where the confidence is going to come in. I'm saying it right now. And I want pictures too.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. We'll get it all for
Video,
you.
Video, pictures, pics that never happened, that kind of thing. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, Jason is new to smoking meat. What should be the next thing that Jason smokes on his new grill? Let us know on that one. We'll ask that of Ross Tucker. He's a foodie as well.
Okay.
And after we shame him, next on 92.3 The Fan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.